Hey everyone, I am so excited to share my very special, special, special guest with you today, and it is my brother, Andy Stevenson. This is my big brother, Andy, who means so much to me. We have had this close relationship all of our lives. He's actually 11 years older than me, but we have been intentional to stay close. And today we wanted to share with you some ways that we can help our kids and our family stay close and develop a bond as brothers and sisters. And so Andy has an incredible resume, and I cannot wait to share him with you. Right now, he is the campus pastor at a big mega church in Carmel, Indiana, and he casts vision and creates culture and he implements strategy. He's like a strategic guru, this goal-oriented, crazy disciplined person. He is so smart. He has a master's degree from Oklahoma State in marriage and family therapy, which we'll talk about today is gives him such insight into this. He also has a PhD from the University of Texas, and he has a wonderful wife who I love, my sister-in-law, Candace, and then they have two daughters, Mackenzie and Morgan, who we also adore. And I cannot wait to just to share his breadth of knowledge with you on just family and how we can help our kids have just a unique bond together. So I can't wait to share Andy with you today. I know you're going to love him as much as I do. Hi, I'm Christy Hayes and co-founder of Be Strong Story, a family mission and company founded because of a little lunchbox note my husband wrote my son that said,
"Be strong, protect the weak, love everyone."
That's right. We believe those three lines can change our world if we live them out. Each week, we'll be sharing an inspiring and real story of others who are displaying this message of love in big and small ways in their community. Because every way matters. We hope each story will inspire you to make this message your own. Let's go love the world, you guys. Hey, bro. I am so glad you're with us. Can you believe you've never been on my podcast before?
I know. I feel so honored. I knew that if I kept sending those checks, I would finally get on.
Yes, yes. If you kept sending that money to me, that you would finally get on. Well, here we are. I kind of told everyone in the intro about who you are, all the awesome things that you've done. But I can't wait for people just to see your heart and why I love you so much. And I promise I'm not going to cry this podcast, but just what you've meant to me. You know, we are so very close. If you don't know us, this is, you know, my brother's 11 years older than me, and we've been close the entire time, and it's just this beautiful relationship that I just adore. And so I'm so glad to have you on here to banter with and to talk a little bit about how, you know, how to stay close as family, but also how to teach our kids to stay close too. So thanks for being on.
Yeah, it's an honor. And yeah, I hope I don't cry either, because you, like, I cried at your wedding so hard. I love you like crazy. So I'm excited about today.
Well, let's talk about our relationship a little bit. And it's funny because when people see us, we do look alike, even though we're 11 years apart. The cool thing is that our kids are about the same age. So that's really fun to stay together. But it wasn't always like love and roses. I told the story the other day to my staff. They said, this is hilarious. This was the question. They said, what is something in your life that has toughened you up? Like, what was something that was mentally, and you know what I'm going to say. And I said, there's different things, but when I was a kid, my brother used to play sports with me. We're a sports family, you know, always grew up. I don't know if I even had a choice of to do sports or not, quite honestly. I remember you having me doing pull-ups at like 4 years old. And you would take me outside, and I played softball at the time, and you would hit ground balls to me, and you would make me do how many in a row? I mean, I feel like it was like 25 in a row, but it was probably more like 10. How many?
I think 10 is probably more realistic. Okay. I think the story gets exaggerated a little bit.
Let me tell the story since I was the victim. Okay, so 10 ground balls, and that's how if I did 10 in a row, then I was done. And on probably ball, like, I don't know, 8, it had a bad hop and hit me in the mouth, and I'm crying and bleeding. And how old was I? Like 8.
Yeah, you're probably 8.
8. Yeah. 8. Fragile, well, 8.
I can still picture a little bit where it was.
Yes, yes. I'm crying. I'm mad. I'm screaming. And mom, like, where are our parents? Like, where are they? Why wasn't anyone helping me? Nobody.
I don't know. I think they were in the house doing something.
Nobody. So the story is that instead of having sympathy for his little sister, he made me stay out there and ground two more balls in a row before I could go inside. And so that is the joke, that you made me tough. And it probably actually did help me. But at the time, I wasn't so happy.
Well, as a marriage and family therapist myself,
you're going to bring that in there?
I would not recommend that strategy. You know, how old was I at that time? So I would have been, if you're eight, I've been about 1920-ish probably. So I probably wasn't the most mature. So I'm glad the story turned out well and that you came out, at least you felt like that was a positive in your life.
I didn't say it was a positive. I just said it is something that was mentally tough. And my staff, we have these really sweet people on my staff, and they're literally going, he made you do what? They were so mortified that you did. You have gotten soft in your old age.
I would never do that to my kids.
No. So. No, you're so soft. Like, I watch you now with your girls, and I'm like, what?
I will say that you were a stud athlete, though. So
appreciate that.
That was very helpful. But yes, don't try this with your kids.
Don't try this with your kids. Okay, so through our kind of growing up, so just a little backstory on us. Obviously, I was surprised Mom had me at 41. How did you feel about that?
Yeah, I totally. Yeah, I was so angry, so mad. I was like the only, at that point, only kid living in the house. And just, I did not want another kid in the house. I remember. I mean, I can remember like where they told me and where I went to my room crying. So
I don't even remember you telling me that. I just thought you loved me always.
No, well, I did. When you came out, I mean, there was just like an incredible love that, you know, we've had all through our lives. But at the moment when I originally heard, I was not happy.
Okay, so I don't remember the baby years. I hardly remember last year. I mean, I have the worst memory ever. But we grew up together. You were 11 years older. And then you graduated and went to college. And then I was kind of the only child. So during those college years, we were still close, though, during those years. I don't know what helped us. What was that? You probably remember more than me.
Yeah, no, I think we've always been close. And I mean, most people listening don't have kids that are 11 years apart, but right. I think there's some principles that were a part of our lives that helped us in like our relationship and who we are. So I think I think there were a few things that happened. One is our parents never compared us.
That's
we
good.
We were each quite different. And I don't care if we're 2 years apart or 11 years apart, don't compare your kids. Mm-hmm. And we have very different personalities. I mean, even how I think Mom and Dad parented each of us, they had to kind of navigate that a little different due to our personalities. We always believed in each other. We always trusted each other. We always wanted the best for each other. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that, man, there were some days. I remember you were such a good little debater when you were like 5 or 6. I totally remember having a conversation with you. So at that time, I'd have been 16, 17. And you were like, I mean, we were arguing and you were like arguing me under the table. I mean, you're just, but it wasn't like we didn't have like occasional tiffs, et cetera, but we always like had this, I guess it was like this constant, like, we are in this together. Mm-hmm. We're family and I'm in your corner.
Yeah.
And I felt like you felt that for me and me for you.
Oh, same. Like you were, you know, I idolized you. Like I wanted to be like you. And I think you felt probably not the pressure, but you felt like you wanted to be that model, you know, for me. I'd love to kind of talk about for parents these days. I mean, we've stayed close. Obviously we moved back in with you, when I was in high school. So, you know, we got to spend my high school days together and you were at every basketball game, and in college you came to basketball games. And you know, one of my favorite memories is when we won the national championship in college and you were the first one to run out on the floor and like swing me around, and you know, you're the first one to, you know, make sure that my dates were appropriate, you know. Dad was like, let you kind of do all that, which was funny. But you just really had my back always. So I'd love to kind of talk today to parents who have kids who, you know, whether they're the same sex. So like you have two girls who are how many years apart? Three? Are they 3 years apart?
Four.
4 years apart. And then I have a boy and a girl who are 3 years apart. So close in age, but also kind of, girl, girl, boy, girl. And I'd love to talk to parents about how you can foster. Obviously, kids have their own personalities and they're going to fight and they're going to bicker. But what are some things that we can do to foster this closeness in our kids' relationship? So, as you've been in marriage and family therapy and working with kids and then having your own kids, what are some things that you would tell people are like the glue, to help your kids foster that?
Yeah, no, I think there are some non-negotiables. And so for one of the non-negotiables is we just don't, even in a joking way, we don't make fun of each other. I mean, like we are like a safe, this house is a safe place. There's enough people outside that are gonna say
That's
things
good.
about you, talk about you, but we're not gonna make fun of each other. We're always gonna be on each other's side. So like at our house, I mean, if you say something in a negative way about your sister, like you're going to get in a lot of trouble. And so that's one of the things.
Well, I would say that too. On that is we don't talk ugly to one another, and so like my kids are not allowed, like kind of in that same vein of like we can be jokey about one another, but we can't talk ugly to one another. So even just things like you're so stupid, or why did you do that? Or you, I can't believe, and a tone, there's a certain tone. And so we've kind of shut that down from the beginning as we don't talk in that tone to one another because that's not how people who love each other talk, and we don't speak with those words to one another. You can be upset and you can go somewhere and have a deep breath, but you cannot talk like that to one another. It's not allowed.
Yeah, and we've even like even take that a little deeper, even made it where it's like we're not even going to be sarcastic in like ways like, hey, you got a big nose, or hey, where'd you get those shoes, or even in those joking manners. And I know some people might argue a little bit on that, but everybody, it seems like sometimes those things hit a little deeper than sometimes they're shown, and so it's just we try to be safe. The other thing I would say that for all of us as parents is don't compare your kids. I mean, that's hard not to do sometimes, especially if they're close in age, but each kid has a distinct personality. Each kid is their own person. And so be real careful not to ever say, well, Sally did it this way or whatever. They're already comparing themselves to if their sibling has a bigger strength, they're already comparing them that way. So find the strengths in each kid and pull those out.
Yeah, that's good. I think it's hard sometimes. I've heard from friends who their kids play the same sports, or their kids are close in age, like the same, boy, boy, or girl, girl, and they're kind of doing the same thing. The great thing for us is, Holden does something completely different than Carter May, and so they both show up for each other's things. That's another thing that I think we do is we make them celebrate each other. And so, Holden does go and sit at Carter May's gymnastics meet for 3 hours, and that's not his favorite thing. But let me tell you, when she goes up to get her medal, he's the first one who's screaming for her and is so excited for her. And same thing, like she needs to go to his games, and she can't be on the phone while he's in. Like he notices. He's like, "Mom, she was on the phone when I was on the floor." And so we make sure, like, if they're up or if they're playing, their sibling is watching them and, supporting them in whatever they do. And that's not always fun. Your kids are going to gripe about that, but for us, that's something that's important to us.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that because I think the whole key thing is that we want our kids to know is like, hey, we always got each other's back, and that you're gonna have a lot of friends throughout the years, but your family is what's gonna stick with you. And so I think that's a great principle you have.
What I was asking, I got turned around. If you have kids who are the same sex or play the same things, even if they're boy, girl, or similar age, and let's say one is like awesome and the other one is jealous of the other one, or they both have the same interests, how do you help that? How do you help that jealousy, or how do you help not comparing? It's very hard as a parent if you have one kid that's very driven and then you have one kid that's not. I think our parents did a good job of parenting differently. What advice would you give for that?
Yeah, no, I mean that's an interesting situation, especially like if you have a kid that's one or two years different and playing the same sport. You have to navigate that. You know, one of the things we try to do with our kids is a couple of things. One is really let them know what we appreciate about who they are, not necessarily what they do. And so like, hey, you know, Morgan, you're so kind. You are so giving. Mm-hmm. We want them to understand those deeper things than Morgan, you scored 10 points, or Mackenzie, you can bake an incredible cake. That's awesome. And we celebrate those things, but it's like, you know, Mackenzie, you really have a heart for people and see people. Mm-hmm. You're very intuitive. You have an empathy, or you can feel what's going on with people. And so we want to bring out kind of the who they are. So I think, you know, if you have somebody focusing, like you're saying, like on a sport, maybe you got one who's like winning gold medals and the other one sitting on the bench, you know, or whatever, that you bring out, you always reinforce who they are as some of their character. And you just got to kind of navigate some of that other.
I love what you just said about the who they are. And because I think as people, we automatically go for the what we do. So even for me personally, I don't know that any of you or mom and dad, I mean, mom and dad didn't even really know anything about sports. I mean, you know, we had mom who loved to come and support, but like she'd be reading her book until I was up to bat or until I got on the court. You know, there was no critiquing, you know, there was no, like, we're sports parents, so it's very hard for us not to, you know, critique or to say, this is what you should have done. I mean, our parents didn't even do that because they, one, really didn't know the game, which is probably good for us. I mean, we never really got critiqued. So I never felt like they thought I was awesome because of what I did, but in general, you get accolades for what you do. So if I played a good game, of course people are going to say, Christy, you were awesome today in that game. So you already have that from everyone else. And so it's almost like the voice that needs to be so loud is the one from our parents that say, you know, I loved watching you play today. Like instead of, I heard this from someone, instead of saying like, you did this or you did that great. Like I loved watching you play today. Or I loved watching you persevere when you know, fell off the, like Carter Mae, she fell off the beam, but she got right back up. I loved watching you persevere. I loved watching you use, you know, that hard work. So it's more character qualities than what it is, because the whole world is going to be telling them what they do is either good or bad. And so we get to tell them their character, you know, character qualities. I love that. Anything else in there just general wise that help your kids, you know, stay close?
Yeah, I think, again, you know, we've already hit on a lot of it. And I know that a lot of kids, you know, there's going to be fights and tension, et cetera. But it's like you're saying, making sure you're navigating those in a healthy way. And we also, you know, if our kids have, you know, a really big issue, that they have to talk it out. Mm-hmm. Like you can't go into your room and slam the door and not work it out. You're going to learn healthy ways to deal with tension and to work through the issue.
How do you, like, give me an, like, let's do an example. So
yeah,
let's, and I want to just tag on that because I think that is so important, because a lot of times we just like either ignore it or we just turn it around, and they need to know for later years. One of the things that Grant instilled in our kids, and this is totally him, when a kid hurts another's feelings or whatever, we say, I'm sorry, but then the other person has to say, I forgive you. Mm. And it's that, you know, I'm sorry, but the other person has a piece in it too, has a responsibility in it too. And that doesn't come easy. I mean, Carter Mae's like, let me get back to you on that. Like, she's not quick, you know, to say like, I forgive you. Like, I need to think about that for a little bit. But that has been, I have seen that in our kids' relationship be so powerful. And even in Grant and I's relationship, like we do that. And I don't like to do that. I just would rather just hear someone say, I'm sorry. I don't want responsibility to forgive. But that has been really powerful. So play something out for you, like whether it be your kids or maybe a parent that you used to help. What does that look like to deal with that tension or like a hard situation or conversation?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Candace, my wife, is the expert.
She is here. So good.
In this. And so, to be quite honest, I would probably, before I met her, would have probably just let some things go. But with her, it's always like we're going to get resolution and learn to have a healthy conversation. And so if the kids are like, they can't come to kind of this moment together where they figure it out, then what she will do is to sit them down where they have to have a conversation and talk, mm-hmm. and they have to look at each other, mm-hmm. and they have to like, okay, why did that hurt you? Talk about that. Would you take, and they have to take responsibility. They have to help. They have to work that situation out. So I think so many of us grew up in homes. I see this all the time, you know, in the world I kind of live in now, where people have never learned how to deal in a healthy way with conflict. And so what happens is when conflict happens, they either run or they blow up, and but they don't know how to sit down and have a conversation. And so I think helping our kids know that you can't run from conflict, that conflict's not bad. I mean, if you deal with it in a healthy way, usually it brings people closer.
Yeah.
And so, but Candace will typically, and I'll usually, a lot of times I'll be there too, but I know that because she's so gifted in it, will often help navigate and help coach them mm-hmm. on that. But she will not in any way, will not tolerate that not being worked out.
Yeah. I think that's so good. And I think that's hard and it takes extra time and some things you just want to like let go. But I think that helps them when they get older. I mean, how many of us don't want to do conflict because we are scared of it because we never practiced it? And that's one of the reasons I always tell my kids, like, I want them to fail well because I want them to do it in my house. Like, I don't care if they fail. I actually want them to fail on some things so that we can, in a safe way in our house, talk about it. And mm-hmm. it's then when they get into the real world, they'll be like, yeah, that's just what happens when you're doing things. That's what happens when you dream big or when you, you know, go after something you want. You're going to fail. It's part of life. And then they just start over again. I think that's such a huge thing. What would you say to parents like who are listening right now and maybe their kids have already been fighting and they just have never gotten along? Is it too late? Is there anything that they can do if maybe their kids have never really got along or any of that? Is there a way to bridge that gap?
Yeah, I don't think it's ever too late. I mean, I think it's a matter sometimes, you know, you have to kind of reset. And so it's, sometimes as parents, you maybe even have to have an honest conversation. It depends on the age of your kids. Mm-hmm. But let's say this has been going on. Your kids are now 13, 14, 15, whatever age, they're older. You have to maybe reset and own up as a parent. Hey, you know, maybe, you know, there's some things that we're going to adjust and I have to own up that maybe as a parent, I haven't handled this the best, mm-hmm. but from now on, we're going to make some adjustment. And here are the adjustments. And, you know, these are the three things that we're making adjustments on or whatever. And this is what will happen if, you know, we don't follow through on this. So I think, you know, it's a matter of the age of your kid, but I don't think it's ever too late to reset. Mm-hmm. And does that mean you're going to be perfect? I mean, nobody's a perfect parent, man. We have some times where we're like, oh gosh, you know, our kids are going to be in therapy. but it's at the same time, you know, we're trying to grow as parents mm-hmm. and grow our relationship as well as parents ourselves. So I would say to parents, whether you feel defeated or that you're doing a great job, that it's always a growing process.
Yeah. And I think it's also okay to admit that you're wrong as a parent. I think that has been one of our, you know, things with our kids is that when we do something wrong or when we don't parent the right way or have helped them navigate things that we can say, we didn't do that right. Like, we did that wrong and we're sorry about that. And will you forgive us? And let's start doing it a different way. So I think you're so right on that. It's never too late to help your kids, you know, have that bond and just to remind them that they're blood, that they're forever, you know, whether they're, you know, adopted or whatever, this is in your family and you're together, you know, for probably the rest of your lives. You're going to have to live together and how you can make that a place that feels safe and you feel known and you can be your true self there is, you know, a beautiful thing. Is there any last tips that you would have on just helping families, help their kids have that strong bond.
Yeah, I think again, we've covered a lot of it, but it's again making sure that you're just reinforcing some key messages. You're reinforcing who they are, not what they do. You're reinforcing that, just like you said, we're always going to be together. Friends will come and go, but we are always in each other's court. Mm-hmm. This is a safe place. Home should be a place where, I used to talk about it as like, oftentimes we're kind of like a house that's being framed and built. And, we go out sometimes outside to school as our kids go to school or work, whatever, even as adults. And oftentimes some of those boards get knocked off, mm-hmm. By people saying things or people triggering things. But then when we come back home, it's a place where we build that. Yeah. Our boards don't get knocked off. It's a safe place where we're building more boards on mm-hmm. for a safe structure. So those are some of the quick things.
It was interesting. Holden wrote this character poem for his class, and it was all these like little prompts like, how does he feel? Who is he? How did he end up? And, as this whole COVID-19, our kids have really like gone through the ringer this year. I was just talking to Grant. I'm like, even when this whole thing kind of gets over and maybe back to normal, they still will remember, some of those things. And like all they've heard about in the last year is like death and COVID and germs and viruses. And, as much as we've tried to talk about it in, healthy ways, they've still heard that they're wearing masks to school or they're not going to school, all those things. And I always tell parents, like, if you're, no matter what's going on around, outside your four walls, if those four walls feel like the place that they can walk in and be themselves and feel known, and that is their safe place. It doesn't even, like, it almost doesn't matter what's going on around as long as they feel safe there. And it was interesting, we just moved here right in the middle of a pandemic, new school, new everything. My kids had to go to school with masks on for the first time and meet new kids, so they really couldn't see them. And I was really nervous about it. And they did fine and did great. But I just, I kind of wonder in my head, like, how do they really feel? Do they feel discombobulated here? Do they feel nervous or scared? And Holden wrote this poem, and at the end it says where he ends up, and it says, who ends up in Waco, Texas, almost 13, and I am safe and protected. And I thought that was like so interesting. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, even though he, sees some of the newspaper clippings and hears us talking about things and, is in a different place, he feels safe and protected. And that's where we want, we want our kids to feel that so that they can go out and be who they are and those kind of things. So I just thought that was interesting.
That's good.
Isn't that cool? Well, thank you, brother, for being on and just kind of giving us some tips. I just thought it was so important because I love our relationship. We get questions all the time of like how we stayed close. And I just think it's something that probably parents have on their mind. And I hope this encouraged our listeners today. Before we leave, our favorite thing that I love to do is to remind our guests who they are, just what we talked about, and not what they do. So you've done some incredible things. You're like the most disciplined, intentional, goal-driven person ever and so successful, but I love reminding people who they are and not just what they do. And so I got some quotes from some of your friends and family of just what you mean to them. So I'm going to read them over to you just to encourage you today. Okay, someone said, Andy, from the day that I met you and to this day, it's only gotten stronger. You have always been a man with strong integrity and convictions. You are a very disciplined man, wise, who searches for wisdom and knowledge, who fears the Lord and puts your trust in his direction, who follows the path he has laid out for your life. You are an excellent husband, completely committed to being the man God asks you to be to your wife. You're a loving father, always looking for ways to be involved in their lives, showing them your love as their father. And you have also been an excellent friend. So supportive, always there to speak truth and give accountability and encouragement. I appreciate you and love you. Someone else said, Andy, you are a dear brother, one of a kind. You live out Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You have never been afraid to speak truth deeply into other people's lives. There have been so many times where you have been a voice of reason, great coaching, great counsel that has been perfect for that season. You are a man of integrity and a man of character and a man who deeply loves his Lord, Candace and his girls. You have spoken deeply into all three of my boys' lives, and for that, I am eternally grateful. You've led well on the stage and when no one else is looking. We are so eternally grateful for the way you have led. One more. Andy, we love your spiritual depth and your love for the Lord. Your devotion and love for Candy, Mackenzie, and Morgan are awesome. We appreciate your strong and compassionate leadership and ministry. You bring a strength of character and integrity to every aspect of your family and ministry and life in general. Thank you for your loving care for us.
Wow. Thank you.
And I would just add all that. You are all that, and you have just been the biggest, most awesome, I'm not crying, cheerleader for me in my life. And I wouldn't be doing half the things I'm doing without your truly pushing me to do those things. And I think I want so badly, I prayed for our kids, that they would have the relationship that we had, because it has made me risk take. It has made me do things that are out of my comfort zone, because I knew you would always be proud of me. And so I want to help other families have that bond, so that their kids can truly celebrate and encourage one another. And it's amazing what you can do when you have that one sibling, or those two siblings or three siblings in your corner that will always, you know, encourage and celebrate you. So thank you for that in my life.
Yeah, no, you made me tear up. Yeah, well, I believe in you. You did it. I believe in you. You always know that. I think you can do anything that God has for you, you put your mind to. And so, no, I'm proud of you, not for what you do, because you've done a ton of things, but for who you are. So, no, you're loved. I love you, sis.
Thank you. Love you. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. We hope it inspired you and gave you ideas of how to live out love exactly where you are. We would be so honored if you subscribed to our podcast, or you left a review, shared it with a friend, because we want as many people as we can to hear this message of what it means to love others. And don't forget to check out our website to grab our new children's book, The Lunchbox Note, A Story of Loving Others. Or if you want to dig a little deeper of ways to strengthen your family, so you can love your community well, check out our family coaching tab at BeStrongStory.com. You can find us over at BeStrongStory, all one word, on all our socials, so we can get to know you more. Above all else, thanks for helping us make this world a more loving place. We believe with our whole hearts that every single person, you listening, is worthy of love, and every person can share that love and make a difference in this world. See you next week, you guys.